waiter, take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. This week in Radical History, for the week starting November 10th. We start out this week with a Howard Zinn quote. There is no flag large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
This week in Radical History for November 10th, 1887, Louis Ling, one of the eight men accused of the bombing at the notorious Haymarket Riot, he is found guilty on very weak evidence and Long, with four others, sentenced to be hung. Lang, however, had a dynamite cap smuggled into his cell in the state and detonated in his mouth, cheating the state out of its glory. All the anarchists, by the way, were posthumously pardoned. At the trial, Louis addressed the court in this way. I despise you. I despise your order, your laws, your forced propped authority. Hang me for it. Also November 10th, the Wilmington Insurrection of 1898 occurred. Originally labeled a race riot, it is now also termed a coup. This incident is the only instance of a municipal government being overthrown in U.S. history. The Wilmington Insurrection was the illegal seizure of power from an elected government of black office holders by white supremacists, who used among many other weapons, including Gatling gun, to kill off black office holders and install their all-white members to government. Also on this date, in 1910, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman sets out to organize public protest in response to the pending execution of Japanese anarchist Tsuchiya Kotoku, who translates anarchist writings into Japanese and is executed for it. In 1950, U.S. Air Force B-50 bomber carrying an H-bomb develops engine trouble over Canada. The Air Force crew members detonate the bomb with the plutonium core removed, scattering 45 kilograms of highly enriched radium into the atmosphere over Quebec. In 1973, Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-5 is labeled a tool of the devil by school board, and a teacher who signed it for reading is fired. Slaughterhouse-5 is a commonly censored book because it's realistic. American soldiers behave as soldiers. They talk and swear and curse like men do, and its language often irreverent, including one of my most favorite quotes from this book. Quote, "The gun made a ripping sound like the opening of a zipper on the fly of God Almighty." Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-5, banned by many school boards across the United States.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early.
On November 10th, 1975, ore ship Edmund Fitzgerald and its crew of 29 is lost in the storms in Lake Superior. No, it's not very radical, but I wanted to insert the song here because I like it. Here's a little more of that song.
Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go as the mariners all know. With the gales of November remembered. Mm-hmm. In a musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa down of the big lake they call Gitchigumi. Superior, they said, never gets up or dead when the gales of November come early.
How come Andrew gets to get up?
That's right.
If he gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
You wrong-faced, overdressed anarchist.
You've come to the wrong shop for anarchy, brother.
Anarchy in the UK!
Anarchy in the UK, anarchy all over the world. In remembrance of the Haymarket Martyrs today, November 11th is International Anarchy Day. So go out and give your favorite anarchist a big old kiss, will ya?
Yeah, what you're describing is anarchy. Are you an anarchist?
You mean, am I a member?
An anarchist group, yes.
Anarchists have a group?
I believe so, sure.
'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, and the spine is never wrong.
I'm not afraid to hop in a fight, and I'm not ashamed about getting drunk, and I don't care what you say, 'cause I believe in anarchy.
So also on November 11th, 1831, American slave rebellion leader Nat Turner hanged in Jerusalem, Virginia. Nat Turner, leader of the Bloody Slave Revolt 3 months before, a slave and educated minister, believed himself chosen by God to lead his people out of slavery. Some of his actions were controversial for indiscriminate killing of whites. However, not to be outdone by the uppity slaves, the white military comes into town and hangs about 60 slaves, most of whom had nothing to do with the uprising. And again on November 11th, 1887, the Haymarket Martyrs, August Spies, Albert Parsons, Adolf Fischer, and George Engel, all anarchists, executed Chicago. A fifth, 23-year-old Louis Lang, killed himself in the prison cell the night before, cheating the state executioners. Prosecutors never found evidence that they threw bombs, and the so-called police chief fabricated evidence in the trial of the Haymarket Massacre defendants. 250,000 people lined Chicago streets during a Parsons' funeral alone. The execution elicited an international outcry. All the Haymarket Martyrs would eventually be posthumously pardoned as the truth of the police lies become more and more evident. Also on November 11, 1918, the war to end all wars ends without an end to wars, with 8.5 million dead, 21 million wounded, 7.5 million prisoners and missing, plus a worldwide influenza epidemic killing another 22 million by 1920. As we heard from the movie MASH, war never ends, they just take it on the road. From a short poem called The Little Song of the Maimed by Benjamin Perret, about a town in France where the largest casualties of the war occurred, and is also a place of my birth, Verdun, France. Lend me your arm to replace my leg. The rats ate it for me at Verdun, at Verdun. I ate a lot of rats, but they didn't give me back my leg. And that's why they've given me the Croix de Guerre, the Cross of War, and a wooden leg, and a wooden leg. More World War I veteran news in 1919. Wesley Everest, after serving in World War I, became a lumberjack and a member of the Industrial Workers of the World, IWW. During the celebration of Armistice Day in 1919, members of the American Legions attacked the IWW Union Hall. The result was a fight that resulted in the death of four men, two of whom were killed by Everest. Wesley Everest uttered the words during the hall defense, "I fought for democracy in France, and I'm going to fight for it here. The first man that comes in this hall, why, he's going to get it." Everest was arrested and held in jail. During the evening of November 11th, a mob stormed the jail, castrated and tortured Everest. No one was ever charged for this crime, proving once again the value veterans have in this country once they are all used up.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
More American-born and bred haters in 1978. Gay San Francisco City Supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone are assassinated by ex-supervisor Republican politician Dan White. White is later convicted of the lightest charge possible in the infamous Twinkie defense. A defense argued that White was depressed because of overconsumption of junk food, and he gets only 7 years in jail for killing two people. He would get out in 5 years after good behavior and less Twinkies, of course.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Right now, there's a movie out about the first gay San Francisco mayor called Milk, starring Sean Penn. This week in Radical History for November 12, 1788, Mexican governor recommends that Navajo establish themselves in permanent villages in the South. 75 years later, under U.S. jurisdiction, the U.S. terrorist army begins to burn those villages. Also November 12, 1920, President of Haiti, unhappy with the U.S. administration, appointed after President Wilson sent in the Marines to Haiti in 1915 to protect American interests, asked for a congressional investigation into the poor state of U.S.-controlled government. Haiti, at one time one of the wealthiest Central American states, is to this day devastated by U.S. colonial interventions. Lastly, for November 12, 1984, a plowshares protest targets silos with pruning hooks, a Minuteman nuclear missile silo in Knob Moister, Missouri. After using a jackhammer and air compressor to damage the silo lid, protesters Carl and Paul Cabat, Larry Cloud Morgan, and Helen Woodson leave behind the Bible and Native American indictment of U.S. government. From the Book of Isaiah, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." This week in Radical History for November 13, 1921, the Supreme Court ruling definitely prohibits Japanese from becoming naturalized citizens on the basis of race. This ban lasts until 1952. The decision says members of certain ethnic groups are not entitled to naturalization citizenships since they are clearly not Caucasian.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Two more items from November 13, 1969, in New York. Bombs have exploded over the past several days at the RCA Building, Rockefeller Center, the GM Building on Fifth Avenue, the Case Manhattan Plaza, United Fruit Company Pier, the Criminal Court Buildings, and Marine Midland Grace Trust Company, and several other federal and corporate buildings to protest government corporate involvement in the Vietnam War. Lastly, in 1974, Karen Silkwood, popularized in the movie Silkwood, is murdered during her investigation of Kerr McKee Nuclear Power Plant in Oklahoma. All her documentation of safety violations somehow disappear.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
This week in Radical History for November 14th, sometimes a lot of good comes with a little bit of bad, such as on this date in 1916 when Margaret Sanger is arrested for operating a birth control clinic. It is the movement she helped created would soon be known as Planned Parenthood. However, her advocacy of eugenics, rightfully so, tarnishes her reputation. Also November 14, 1930, during this month, 6,000 people a day are selling apples on the street of New York alone. Shivering, ragged apple sellers stand in pitiful wooden crates, beseeching passengers to buy an apple for any amount of money. These people are classified by the Census Bureau as employed. President Hoover would famously say, "Many persons left their jobs for a more profitable one of selling apples." Yeah, why don't you give that a try once? A pretty hilarious incident happened on November 14, 1943, during World War II. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, Secretary of State Hull, and all Americans' top military brass narrowly escaped disaster aboard the USS battleship Iowa when a live torpedo was accidentally fired at them from the U.S. destroyer. The Iowa rapidly began evasive maneuvers, and all guns were turned at the destroyer. The destroyer Porter is ordered to return to port, and the captain and entire crew is arrested by forces of the Marine upon docking. When the ship is returned back into service, it is often hailed when she enters ports and joins other naval ships with the greeting, "Don't shoot, we're Republicans." Vietnam, November 14 through 16, 1965, the first major military engagement occurs between U.S. and North Vietnamese forces. Check back in 6 years and we'll tell you who won. Also on that date, in 1985, crime pays. Most scandalous year in Wall Street history ever occurred when Ivan Boesky agrees to plea deal to unspecified criminal court, ordered to pay a $100 million fine and return all profits. He's barred for life, yeah, sure, from trading securities. Next up, SNL crisis, Enron, WorldCom, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, blah, 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 blah. Two more items for November 14, 1993. CIA role in Haitian drug trade disclosed. U.S. media yawns. And the U.S. government declines to investigate itself.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
This week in Radical History for November 15th, I only have one item in 2001. Government admits that not one of the 1,200 suspects arrested after 9/11 has any links to the terrorist attacks. Most were men of Muslim descent and held without hearings for months at a time. Some were deported over minor immigration status issues.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
This week in Radical History for November 16th, 1793, French revolutionaries load a barge with 90 priests, then tow them out to the river and sink it. All aboard perish. Also on November 16th, 1928 in England, obscenity trial begins for Radcliffe Hall and the novel The Well of Loneliness. Hall's book created a scandal and Britain banned it for its treatment of lesbianism. A U.S. court in 1929 ruled similarly and objected to a sympathetic portrayal of homosexuality because it, quote, pleads for tolerance on the part of society, unquote.
And I'm proud to be an American.
The risque line used as evidence in court for this depravity is, quote, and that night they were not divided, unquote. How erotic. Doesn't that just want to make you run out and be a lesbian? Also on November 16th, 1969, America rediscovers May Lie as the American media can no longer ignore the story after years and years of refusing to print it. 24 were charged in the murder and their cover-up, but only William Calley was convicted. His punishment consisted of being confined to his apartment.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
And the person in charge of the initial investigation and cover-up, then First Lieutenant and future Secretary of State, Colin Powell. In 1989, El Salvador, six Jesuit priests, their housekeeper, and their daughter brutally murdered by U.S.-sponsored death squads, the CIA wanting to protect American interests. Then in 1995, 10 protesters arrested at the School of Americas, also known as the School of Assassins at Fort Benning, Georgia, America terrorist training camp where students learn how to kill and torture and help develop ties with CIA operatives to protect American interests throughout South America. 2 years later, 1997, after a silent half-mile-long funeral procession, demonstrators attempt to enter the base, 601 are arrested at the School of the Assassins. To this day, the school has been renamed, but still is open. Training terrorists in your name.
And I'm proud to be an American.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Glee Studios. Inspiration for this segment came from the Slingshot organizer. Google the Slingshot Collective for more info. Radical info can be found primarily at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. Google the Daily Bleed for more rad info. Since Tuesday is International Anarchy Day, we leave you this week's show with the anarchist band Chumbawamba singing Give the Anarchist a Cigarette. So until next week, This Week in Radical History, I am always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
member?
An anarchist group, yes.
Anarchists have a group?
I believe so, sure.
They assemble?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that completely defeat the purpose?